Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Tuesday, September 15th. What to know today about the path of Hurricane Sally as it inches toward the Gulf Coast and how wildfires are now impacting the race for president. Also, a unique signing ceremony at the White House and new evidence that young children can spread COVID-19. Plus, astronomers find signs of life on Venus, Walmart launches a new subscription service, and a first-of-its-kind auction. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. More than 17 million Americans in the Deep South are bracing for a powerful hurricane this morning. Hurricane Sally is expected to make landfall this afternoon. The National Hurricane Center predicts it will be deadly since it will likely bring a storm surge of up to 11 feet and 16 inches of rainfall. So people in Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and the Florida Panhandle are packing up and evacuating. Meanwhile, first responders are going in. Tennessee and Texas sent dozens of search and rescue workers to Louisiana in preparation. President Trump also approved an emergency declaration for parts of Louisiana and Mississippi so federal officials can coordinate disaster relief efforts and provide assistance. And remember, some of Louisiana is still recovering from Hurricane Laura just a few weeks ago. By the way, for only the second time on record, five tropical cyclones were churning in the Atlantic Basin at the same time yesterday. But all of those except Hurricane Sally are way out at sea, and they're unlikely to threaten land this week, if at all. There are still 2.5 months left of this Atlantic hurricane season. If we get more than four more named storms, that means they'll start being named after the Greek alphabet. Unprecedented wildfires burning out west are making climate change more of a key issue now in the presidential election, as the candidates disagree about the core cause of those worsening fires. During his trip to Northern California yesterday, President Trump once again doubted the scientific community's consensus on climate change and its impact on the fire threat. He again blamed mostly forest management instead, and at one point publicly disagreed with a top California environmental official. That official did agree that vegetation management can play a role, but he also urged the president to recognize the impact of climate change and not, quote, put our heads in the sand. President Trump responded saying, "It will start getting cooler, just you watch." When he was challenged on that, Trump said he doesn't think science actually knows. Meanwhile, Joe Biden says four more years of Trump would mean worsening natural disasters across the country, including wildfires and hurricanes. And now for an update on the fires themselves. They aren't even close to being under control. Winds have been picking up and the smoke is getting thicker, making it harder for firefighters to contain the flames. So far this year, the wildfires in California have burned enough land to cover the entire state of Connecticut. Tens of thousands of people are still evacuated in California and Oregon. At least 36 people have died. And for millions of people in western states, the air is still considered unhealthy to breathe. The smoke can even be seen as far away as Canada, Hawaii, New York, and Washington, D.C. A new study from the CDC found, yes, very young children can get COVID-19 and spread the virus to adults, even if the kids are not showing symptoms. The CDC looked at three daycare facilities in Utah. It found 12 kids and 10 staff members got infected from someone else at the daycare. On the bright side, all the kids had mild or no symptoms. But through contact tracing, investigators found that each of those children spread the virus to at least 25% of the people they were in contact with outside of that daycare. Usually, that meant parents and siblings. Keep in mind, research has already shown children older than 10 can spread the virus, but until now, data has been limited about younger children. House Democrats are launching a formal investigation into whether the CDC has faced political pressure to change its reports about COVID-19. Politico reported over the weekend that the spokesman for the Health and Human Services Department has been reviewing the CDC's scientific reports and updates before they're actually released to the public. And in a few cases, Politico cites sources and emails that show the CDC agreed to compromise on its wording to make the COVID-19 updates a little more optimistic in order to match President Trump's tone. The spokesman leading the push for changes is Michael Caputo. He's a former Trump campaign official who has been working with the Department of Health and Human Services since April. He's faced some criticism now for trying to make those changes since he doesn't actually have a medical or scientific background himself. But he told Politico he's had his own scientific advisor helping out. And he told The Washington Post that ultimately the CDC always had the final say and usually rejected his input. Well, either way, House Democrats now want Caputo and six other officials to testify on Capitol Hill under oath. To be continued. For the first time in more than a quarter century, a U.S. president will host a signing ceremony between Israelis and Arabs at the White House. Today, representatives from the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Israel governments will come together to sign what's called the Normalization Accords. President Trump has called it a historic breakthrough in the Middle East. Remember, this was first announced last month when the UAE said it would become only the third Arab country to open diplomatic relations with Israel. President Trump said the deal would bring better cooperation on investment, tourism, technology, energy, and more. The countries agreed to allow regular flights between them, as well as open embassies and trade ambassadors for the first time. So today at the White House, the deal is being finalized, though critics do argue it isn't doing much to solve the biggest conflict in the Middle East between Israelis and Palestinians. Also today, the United Nations General Assembly begins in New York City. It marks the UN's 75th anniversary. But we won't be seeing any of the usual fanfare. President Trump will be the only world leader speaking in person. Most speeches and all the meetings are going virtual because of the pandemic. Still, the UN says the wheels of global diplomacy will be turning at the usual speed. World leaders will be talking about developing a COVID-19 vaccine, tackling climate change, and advancing gender equality. More news is coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor, HelloFresh. When you're short on time or just not sure what to cook, dinner can feel stressful. I know I've been there. I've either resorted to expensive takeout or less than healthy meal options too many times. And that's why I love HelloFresh. Whenever I get fresh, pre-measured ingredients alongside easy-to-follow, seasonal, and delicious recipes delivered right to my door, I don't have to give it another thought. I know that I have everything I need for tonight's dinner, and I only need about 30 minutes to cook it. And my husband and I are always so impressed with the meals themselves, like chicken pineapple quesadillas or the Juicy Lucy burger. Plus, there's no food waste, and you can choose from something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. In fact, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Just go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy and use the code 80newsworthy to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy and use the code 80newsworthy. Now, back to the news. Scientists say they found possible signs of life on another planet. No, not Mars, Venus. New research shows traces of a rare molecule known as phosphine have been found in Venus's clouds. Here on Earth, phosphine is created by bacteria that grows in oxygen-free environments. That means it's possible that bacteria or some kind of living organism might be on Venus. Astronomers say this is an astonishing discovery, considering the planet's harsh environment. Venus can reach 900 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hot enough to melt lead, and its clouds contain sulfuric acid. So while researchers are excited about the possibilities, they also say a lot more study is needed to know for sure. They realize there's a chance some other mysterious events may have also caused the phosphine gas to form instead. Still, it's enough to get NASA to consider sending a probe to Venus. A Brazilian surfer set a new world record by breaking her own world record for the largest wave ever surfed by a woman. It was also the largest wave surfed by anyone this year. Maya Gabeira rode a 73.5-foot wave in Portugal last February. It took a while to confirm her world record, though, because a team of experts had to analyze videos of the wave to confirm its height. As you might imagine, the video is pretty incredible. We've posted a link to her record-breaking surf in today's episode notes. Today, the world's largest retailer is launching its new subscription service called Walmart Plus. It has several features like unlimited free delivery and discounts on gasoline. Walmart Plus members will also have access to a scan-and-go feature they can use in-store. It lets them scan their items using Walmart's app and then pay without having to stop at a cashier. The subscription is just under $100 a year or about $13 a month. And Walmart is offering a free trial right now. By the way, Walmart's biggest competitor, Amazon, is now hiring even more workers. Yes, the online retailer is looking to fill another 100,000 full-time and part-time positions to help keep up with the online shopping demand. Today, a first-of-its-kind auction will celebrate rap music. The international auction house Sotheby's is holding the first auction devoted entirely to hip-hop, specifically from the 1970s to 1990. People will be able to bid on art, photography, jewelry, fashion, and more. And some of the items for sale are pretty personal. For example, love letters written by Tupac Shakur when he was a teenager. Also, the crown Notorious B.I.G. wore in the last photo shoot before he died. That's actually expected to be the highest-selling item. Sotheby's thinks it will sell for $200,000 to $300,000. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a couple of good causes, like the Queens Public Library Foundation, as well as a nonprofit called Building Beats, which offers DJ and music programs to low-income youth in New York. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, where we ask a different trivia question every week. Today's trivia question is, what was the world's first national park? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories today. Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. As for last week's trivia question, who were the first two humans to walk on the moon? The answer is Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. The NASA astronauts landed on the moon on July 20th, 1969. They were a part of the iconic Apollo 11 mission and spent several hours exploring the moon's surface and collecting samples. Since then, 10 other people have followed in their footsteps, literally, by walking on the moon. And NASA plans to send humans to the moon again, including the first woman, in 2024. And that's it for today. Thanks again for making the Newsworthy part of your daily routine. If you're new here, be sure to subscribe or follow in your podcast app so you can easily find new episodes each day. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.